You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
I'm Wanda Miles in for Jim Freed this evening. He is out doing the political campaign supporting his wonderful niece, Nikki Freed. Again, nikkifreed.com. You can go visit and find out all the things Nikki's going to do for the state of Florida. Meanwhile, we are coming up quickly on Miami International Book Fair. That is coming up November 16th, I believe. It's probably the week preceding that with lots of stuff. But your tickets will be available October 29th. And on the phone line right now, I have with me James Mustich. Am I saying that right, Jim?
It's Mustich, one.
Mustich. 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 Like mustard, but not.
Correct. With a K on the end. Yep.
Great. So you're traveling about. You're heading this way. I do hope you're coming for the Miami Book Fair. What time? When will you be there?
I will be there on Sunday, November 18th, on a panel at the Miami-Dade College Wolfson campus. And I hope people come by and see us. I'll be talking with a few other authors about how we put together our books. My book is called A Thousand Books to Read Before You Die.
Yes.
And it's the product of 14 years' work. And so I believe that anybody at the book festival would be interested in this volume.
Okay, so I guess we'll start at the beginning. How do you begin to write a book about 1,000 books? Where do you start
with it? You sit there for a long time and you think about it.
Alphabetically, historically?
Yeah. I all of that together, what I finally decided to do, because I wanted to have something for every kind of reading appetite, is to mix classics with commercial favorites. I have books for kids so that it covered all ages of readers. Mm-hmm. And because it covered all ages of readers and historically goes all the way back to Homer up to books published last year, I ended up arranging it alphabetically by author. So there's a nice mix, and people would be surprised. They may go in and look for one thing and then find other things that will appeal to them that they weren't necessarily looking for, much like they do when they walk into a good bookstore.
Yeah. Now, have you read every single book in there?
I believe I have. I've read certainly the vast, vast majority of them. Uh-huh. I've been a bookseller for 4 decades. So I think there's probably a handful of these books that I've been talking about with customers and readers for so long that I really believe I've read them, but maybe I didn't, but that's only a handful. So I'm really familiar with all of them.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and your passion for books, to maybe that'll help us understand how one gets to 1,000 books.
Well, I've been a bookseller for 4 decades and a reader for a little bit longer than that. And I've always enjoyed being around books, something that I got from my mother, who is approaching her 90th birthday and is still the most voracious reader I know.
Awesome.
And in a bookstore, you can have terrific conversations with people, because when people are trying to decide what to read next, they're really exploring different areas of their life. It may be in business, it may be in their hobbies, or it may just be for entertainment or for learning. But you have very meaningful conversations because people invest a lot of time in a book. You know, you watch a movie, you can love a movie and it can be great, but it's over in 90 minutes or 2 hours. But a book, you're putting time over a period of time, so it speaks to you differently. So those conversations are very rich. And out of the store in 1986, I started a mail order catalog. This was before the internet, called The Common Reader, which we mailed to tens and then hundreds of thousands of people around the country. And we had a very rich correspondence with them where people would recommend books to us. So that whole idea of the conversation in books, which of course is what the book festival is all about, is something that's very meaningful to me, and I try to capture that between covers.
What does it take to convince you to read a book? I mean, you have so many to choose from. What gets you onto one book?
Well, it is hearing an author on a show like yours where it sounds interesting to me, or maybe on a podcast, getting a recommendation from a friend or a fellow reader, or just picking up something that looks appealing and taking a dip. I'm a big sampler of things, and when I find something that speaks to me in the moment, then I spend some time digging into it. So I'm a pretty promiscuous reader, you might say. I'm reading all the time in every kind of subject area. But I like something that has some sense of personality from the author and some kind of stylistic flair to it.
How many books do you are in your personal library, would you say?
In my personal library, I'd say there's somewhere between 8 or 10,000.
Wow. That's like a whole like a whole room.
Yeah, it book. Is. It's a whole room and it's a basement.
Wow. That's fantastic.
And say how our shelves were organized, and I said, well, we can barely see the shelves. We have all the piles in front of them. So it's a lot of books.
Well, what's the process for selecting which book to put in your book of 1,000? How do they make the cut?
Well, they made the cut by, it's a book that I've read and loved that's meant a lot to me, or a book that I learned of from another reader. I wanted the book to document my own reading first, and then also what I've learned as a bookseller about what are kind of a little bit offbeat books that have really appealed to readers over the years, and to try to give them another life through my book.
What's your favorite genre?
Well, I'm all over the place, but I really like memoirs and essays where you're getting a sense of an author's kind of personal, how they're situating themselves in their lives. That's probably my favorite, but I do read all over the lot.
Now, if you've been working on this for 14 years, I'm guessing that, you know, people change, things change. How did the book evolve over 14 years? Did you move books around?
Well, you know, one of the things that happened is that once people knew I was writing a book called 1,000 Books to Read Before You Die, I could never enjoy a dinner party in quite the same way again, because everybody would want to know what's in it and have their own favorites, which was great, but it just added to the list,
right,
which is one of the reasons why it took so long. There were more things to explore, things I had heard of but hadn't really dug into deeply, or some things I hadn't really heard of at all, and which was surprising, because as a bookseller for a long time, most things I at least kind of know what they are if I hear a title or an author, even if I haven't read them yet. But there were a few that popped up that I had never even heard of, which is wonderful.
Wow. What's your favorite book of all time, would you say?
Well, I think my favorite book of all time is a book by a man named Russell Holbein. And Russell Holbein is distinguished because he wrote great books for little kids. He wrote the Bread and Jam for Francis series. I don't know if you remember those, about a little mischievous badger that the parents are trying to get to sleep and so on. Picture books for kids. And then adult books that were very sophisticated, like Ridley Walker. But the one that's my favorite is right in the middle in ages there, between the ages of 10 and 12, I would say. That's what it was written for. It's a full-length novel. It's called The Mouse and His Child. And it's about a wind-up toy, which is a father mouse and a little child mouse, and you wind the toy up and he picks the child up and they dance around in a circle. And this toy leaves the toy shop and has harrowing and terrifying adventures out in the world, and then they learn how to be resilient and resourceful, has a happy ending. But I really think, with no qualification for age, even for adults, this book has as much meaningful to say about being alive on the earth as any I know. It's a wonderful story. And it's very uplifting.
Now, it's obvious, the movie or the book is always better. But what about audiobook or reading a book or an e-book or like the electronic books? Do you prefer an actual book you can hold in your hand or an audiobook?
I generally prefer a book I can hold in my hand, but I read a lot of electronic books as well, because having an e-reader is great when you're traveling around. If you have a couple of books going at one time and you can get anything on a moment's notice. And I love audiobooks. I am a big audiobook listener, and I really encourage people to listen to them because it helps us to get to, especially with longer books, it can be daunting when you're looking at a big, you know, pile of 600 or 700 pages. But an audiobook, it uses other time. It makes time that was not time for reading before, like driving in a car or going out for a walk, makes it available to you to read. And it's a great way to get through books. And some of them are excellent. In fact, in my book, I have essays about all the 1,000 books, but then I have endnotes in which I will recommend audiobooks if I think they're particularly good for a particular book. So I'm a big, big fan of audiobooks.
What do you think makes a good audiobook? Is it the narrator or is it just the book?
You need a good narrator. You can have the best writing in the world, but if the narrator is flat or uninspired, it just kind of drones on and it doesn't get the interest. So you really need to match the narrator with the book.
All right. Okay, we're going to take a little bitty of a break. Can you stick around for some more? Because I've got lots of other questions here.
Sure.
All right, so we're going to quick break, and we'll come back with more from, again, that's the Miami Book International Book Fair coming up in November, the first week or two of November. I believe Saturday and Sunday are the big days, Saturday, November 17th and 18th, Miami-Dade College in downtown Miami. It's always a good time. Hopefully we'll see you there. We'll have more from one of the authors, James Mustich.
Mustick.
I got it now. We'll be back with James Mustick in just a bit.